minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Yes, it is I, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow in for Mike tonight and tomorrow night. Mike will be back with us on Monday. We're glad you found us here. Broadcasting coast to coast and around the globe. Here from the left coast, the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150. All night long, glad you could join us. We were speaking in the last hour with David Dayan of Fire Dog Lake, who was kind enough to stick around for just one more segment here to take a couple of quick calls. You can get in, if you like, 877-520-1150. We're going to talk, actually I'll wait till David leaves to talk about some of the comedy. Comedy in the U.S. House, it really is, you know, other than the whole apocalypse and ruining everything we know in this nation, it is much funnier when Democrats are, I'm sorry, when Republicans are in charge. Don't
it's
you agree,
good
David?
For bloggers, anyway.
It is.
It's endless streams of easy material.
That's true. It is so easy, and it is so funny. You know, it's just not funny when Obama screws up. It's just sad and depressing. And, all right, 877-520-1150 is our phone number. Okay, David, I wanted to keep you around for no reason, just because it was a Sarah Palin call. So I thought you might enjoy it, although somebody also wants to talk about the filibuster. But let's first go to the Sarah Palin call and see what kind of fun we can have here. Greg from Chatham, New Jersey, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Yes, Brad. Actually, it's pronounced Chatham.
Oh, you know, I should know that. I only lived in Manhattan for about 10 years, so my mistake. Sorry about that.
That's quite all right. listen, you tried to paint the Republicans as lying about death panels, and yet if you...
No, wait. No, I did? Did I mention death panels tonight?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Well, they do lie about death panels. So go ahead. I just wanted to be clear because I wasn't sure I mentioned them.
Calling Obama's own regulatory czar, Cass Sunstein, a liar, because he was on about 2 months ago, I believe it was the Charlie Rose show, and virtually admitted to the fact that when it comes to treatment of old people, one of the ways that the health care plan must work, if you understand economics, is that they're going to have to restrict treatment of elderly patients when it comes to expensive care. And that's exactly what a death panel is. A death panel isn't described as a...
you mean like the private insurance companies do now, for example, right?
Oh, well, I'm glad you brought that up, too, because it just came out in the last day or two that there's been a study. Anyone can Google this, any one of your listeners out there, or any two of your listeners out there can Google it, that statistically...
Is that because our listeners are stupid?
There's only 8,000 people, only 8,000 people out of 300 million Americans who are denied pre-existing coverage. So when you have all your left...
Hang on, Greg. We're not just talking about pre-existing coverage. We're talking about the insurance company. And if you're going to tell me there's 8,000 in this country, the insurance company actually turning down procedures. Oh, you can't do that procedure because it's so-called experimental or so on and so forth. But hang on. Let me give...
Hang on, Greg. You just told another lie, Brad. I have to call you out on it.
Okay, go ahead.
If you have an insurance policy, it's a contractual agreement, and an insurance company cannot deny you coverage under penalty of being pursued by the attorney general of the state you're in if they breach the contract of that insurance policy to treat you.
Okay.
So, Brad, that's another piece of propaganda from the left.
Okay, Greg, hang on. Just settle down. Greg, settle down. It's okay. I'm not hanging up on you. I just want to give David a chance to respond if he has any thoughts, okay? And I'll have some more for you in a second. David, hang on, Greg. It's okay. It's all right, pal. David, any thoughts you'd like to... What happened to David? Oh, I hung up on David. Oh, brilliant.
He's the one that ran away.
All right, no, he didn't. I actually hung up on... Tony, can you tell Des to get him back on here? My fault. And I'll bring him back on in a second. A couple of points, though, Greg. One, the contract that you speak of allows them to decide what is allowable for the, you know, what they decide to give you, what they determine to be experimental and what they determine isn't. They get to determine, for example, how many days you get to stay in a hospital and so on and so forth. That is in the contract. Yes, if they break the contract, you can try to sue them. You can go to the attorney general if you think you can get something done there, but you're usually sick and you don't need that to happen. That's one point. Number two, hang on, Greg, you're going to get your chance. Number two, and I think we have David back here, the first point about the pre-existing, about the death panels. I don't know what Cass Sunstein said, so I'm not going to speak to that. I'm happy to call him a liar anytime. I don't care. I don't give a damn. But the fact is, what was in the bill, you don't have to take Cass Sunstein's word or anybody else's. What was in the bill was quite clear. It was not about deciding what medical care you can and can't have. It was about end-of-life discussion, counseling, help, so people know what to do, and it actually saves money when the patients decide to make these plans ahead of time. That's all that it was about. There was no panel. There was no government body deciding whether you get to live or die. The death panel nonsense was exactly that. It was a lie. Now, Greg, I'll give you a chance to respond, but we got David back on the line, and I don't know how much of that he heard because I screwed up and knocked him off. So hang on. Let me see if I can do this. There we go. All right, David, I'm sorry about that. Were you able to hear any of that, or did I just?
I heard a little bit. I know this is about the ubiquitous death panel.
Yeah.
But let me just say one thing to that, and then we can go.
Okay.
We know that there are death panels. They're happening in Arizona, where the state of Arizona has denied transplants that are legal and eligible under Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
Two patients, a second patient died today.
Yep.
Of for the cause of not getting a proper transplant. This is this was done entirely to save money in the budget. It saves a whopping $1 million of a $2 billion budget gap in the
right.
state of Arizona, and that's your death panel.
And that was Jan Brewer who did this. Now, Greg, do you have any response to either David or me?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, it's interesting when you talk about end-of-life treatment. They tried to put it in to force doctors to have end-of-life care once every once every 5 years.
No, they don't force them to do anything. They are able to do it, and they will be paid. They will be paid for it if they do it. Go ahead, Greg.
I respond. So the blowback was so great from the medical community and from the American public because they know what it's all about. It's all about telling an elderly patient, look, you know, you've had a nice life. It's your time to go. So they took it out. Well, hold on a second. So there was a lot of pictures. And so Obama, the weakling that he is, he took it out. And then between Christmas and New Year's, they tried to sneak it in, only worse, because then they wanted to sneak it in.
Okay.
Have forced doctors to have it not every 5 years, but every year.
Every year. No, they don't force them.
Well,
they are, Greg. No, Greg, I got to go. I'm sorry. I gave you a lot of time. Yeah.
It was leaked to New York Times, okay. And that weekly took it out again.
I agree. Hey, listen, you will get no argument from me when it comes to whether Obama is a weakling or not. No question about it. But the fact that they're going to force them to do these death panels, that there's anything in the language which you can read which says quite clearly what this is about, is not about deciding if they are allowed to have certain treatment. It is about counseling them to help them, help the patient decide.
The only thing we have that we know of that literally decides whether someone can live or die and get a certain transplant or a certain treatment is happening in Arizona under a Republican governor and a Republican legislature.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you. Let me give you one filibuster call, and then I will release you for the night, David.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Mark in San Francisco, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind? You actually have something that's on topic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. I don't believe believe it's a good idea to end the filibuster at this time. And the reason is because I am very afraid, I think it's a high possibility, that we will lose both chambers of the Congress and the presidency in 12. And we can, and I'll tell you another thing. Don't think that the Republicans will allow a bunch of pesky Democrats to filibuster. They will end it themselves.
So what's the point? So
and
if they're going to end
I say let them end it.
Okay.
And the other thing is, what are we going to get to really, what's going to be of any value for the Senate to do? The
right
Senate
now, we have a judicial crisis in this country. We have hundreds of vacancies in the judiciary. And one of the major things that is in this reform proposal drastically limits the amount of time that those judicial nominees can be held up on the floor of the U.S. Senate. So that's an example.
And I think even Justice, hang on, Mark. I think even, I believe it was Justice John Roberts the other day who came out and said something needs to be done about this problem in the judiciary, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. Okay. And Mark,
well,
your other
one? Yeah, remember, and for the next 2 years, we might get something out of that. I'll grant you that.
Mm-hmm.
But remember when Cheney was going to go in and use the nuclear option to force, I think it was Alito, to get in, mm-hmm. and the Democrats caved on it. So the Republicans, when they get in, right, they are going to not allow a filibuster to give them a problem at all. Right. Now, what I also believe is that the Democrats should have done this after the, what was it, the 2008 election.
No question.
But they didn't.
Or at the latest, they should have done it at 2010.
Thanks.
At this point, I say, let the Republicans do it.
Thanks for the call, Mark. I do got to go. I do appreciate your call.
Here's the one thing I will say, because this comes up a lot, and it comes from a pretty partisan perspective, who's going to win, who's going to lose. You know, these rule changes aren't going to just last for the next 4 years or the next 8 years or the next 10 years. They're going to last for a good long time. And Tom Harkin said this on the floor of the U.S. Senate. We cannot have a 21st century government operating under 19th century rules. And, you know, at some point, we have to get rid of this structure that basically bottles everything up, allows nothing to be done. We have other countries that are zooming past us because mm-hmm. we have this phlegmatic government. When we go into other countries on imperial adventures and put in governments and install governments in Iraq and Afghanistan, we don't use this structure of government.
Yep.
We use a parliament because this structure of government is messed up. So we need to fix this. And this reform proposal, while not going all the way there, goes at least some of the way towards a saner U.S. Senate.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think that Mark's proposal, as you pointed out, David, makes much sense. He says the Republicans are going to end it anyway when they come in.
Right.
So but don't end it now. Well, for one, we're not even talking about ending it, unfortunately. Right now, we're talking about amending it, if you will.
Amend it, don't end it.
That's it. And so we're not talking about ending it. But this notion that, we don't want to do it because then their guys won't be able to do it, our guys won't be able to. You know, you're right on the money, David. We have to move this process forward. The process is currently being abused, and the notion that, we want Democrats to be able to abuse it too doesn't make a lot of sense. Hey, brother, I appreciate you staying up extra late for me tonight, David.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Yeah, hope so. All David Dayan from Fire Dog Lake. You can check him out at news.firedoglake.com. Much more show straight ahead. Much more Republican comedy, I suspect, also ahead. And your calls at 877-520-1150. Anything you want to talk about, they're your airways. Use them or lose them. Brad in from Molloy. This isn't going to get to our house either, is it? See, we keep wanting to do this house music, so to speak. And there's what? Maybe sooner, maybe? Yeah. Keep it playing for a while. If you hear them say our house, then we'll have a theme going. There we go. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad in for Mike, talking about Congress with 2 minutes left before the bottom of the hour. Way to go. Who's running this show? Who knows what they're doing? will I even have time? No, now I'm going to have to hold this birther lady until after the break, I think. The Congress convened for their first full day today, the U.S. House anyway, now controlled by the Republicans. And what did they do with their first day? Well, these fiscal conservatives, see, I make myself mad when I say that. They're not conservatives. These right-wingers decided it was okay to spend $1.1 million today to read the U.S. Constitution out loud. Now, I have nothing against the Constitution. I kind of like it. Actually, I like it a lot. But, you know, Republicans haven't proven that they're all that much interested in the Constitution. They certainly haven't for the last 8 years. And that made for a lot of interesting situations today, a lot of interesting ironies on the floor. One of those ironies happened, well, I had to hold it till after the break, don't I? The birther lady, yeah, I do. A lot of ironies because, you know, these guys who have been pretending, who have been doing this kabuki theater now for the past year or two that they're outraged with the Democrats violating the Constitution. Where were you Constitution lovers over the last 8 years before that, when every goddamn piece of it was shredded up, was laughed at, was ignored by George Bush, Dick Cheney, and friends? You didn't much care about the Constitution then, did you? Oh, now you found religion? Doubt it. We'll see. We'll talk about that and your call straight ahead. Brad, in for Malloy.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
Yeah, I do. No, it's not. Well, yeah, that has been the Brad Blog's theme song for anyone who knows bradblog.com. Oh, yeah, I'm Brad from Brad Blog. That has been the Brad Blog's theme song. Keep it playing there for a while, Tom. That has been our theme song for going on 7 years now since we set up shop back in 2004. That's Jerry Rafferty of Steeler's Wheel, 1972. Jerry Rafferty died yesterday. At the age of 63, I think he was. He will be missed. He wrote that tune with Joe Egan. He also wrote other hits, such as Right Down the Line and Baker Street. Thank you, Jerry. Slay him up there in heaven, will ya? All right, back to our previously scheduled broadcast here. Our phone numbers, by the way, if you want to get in, 877-520-1150. And they are chatting away over at the chat room at bradblog.com. Stop on by the first item there and just link through to the comment section, and you'll see the big old chat room. You can jump on in there, say hi to For Earth, Tim from who else is there? Tim from LA, Kath Armstrong, Maine Coyote, Ken Jackson, Lottie RJ, Roya, I don't know how you say that. They're all there. Stop by and say hello. Oh, Bill of Rights, man, is in there. Lots going on. And, of course, the lovely Desi Doyen is your swell hostess tonight. So anything you do want to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. These are, as I always like to say, your airwaves. Use them or lose them even more than you already have. 877-520-1150. All right, we were talking about the U.S. House. The Republicans came to Congress this week and decided they gave a damn about the Constitution. Of course, they had been using this this newfound discovery of the Constitution over the past year while they've been fighting health care insurance reform. It's unconstitutional. Well, we'll find out. I'm not one of these people. Early on, there was a lot of people making fun of these folks who were going to court, these attorney generals who were filing suit that the health care law was unconstitutional. Is it or isn't it? That's what I'd like to find out. That's what the courts are for. It seems like it. I have no problem with it in that sense. It's not a particularly good bill. Should have gone a lot further. Why this would be unconstitutional, but other plans that have passed were not. Well, I don't see why, but good. That's what the courts are for. Let's find it. Let's test it out. But for these Republicans and these Tea Partiers who were running around over the past 2 years, going on and on about the Constitution, Democrats are come. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The next thing you know, they're going to act like they give a damn about the deficit. Oh, yeah, they do that, too. Come on, people. I have no problem. I have no problem with people that I disagree with. I really don't. If you're legitimate, if you think we shouldn't have the health care for whatever reason you want, there's a lot of reasons to not like the bill, for sure. It doesn't go far enough. It does give unprecedented amounts of money in the mandate to private insurance companies who, by the way, ought to all be put out of business. Well, they can stay in business if they want, but what they do is kind of immoral. profiting off your illness. But we fought that battle last year. Republicans want to fight it again, and they want to act like they give a damn about the Constitution in order to do it. They don't. But they want to act like they do, and that's fine. So they came around today. We're going to read the U.S. Constitution on the floor of the Senate. Cool. All right. Floor of the U.S. House, I should say. And that they did. And everything was going well enough, and they were actually having Democrats were reading and Republicans were reading. And a really interesting story, actually, as the day unfolded. And if I get lucky, maybe in the next hour, I'll try to read you this story that Dave Weigel put together over at Slate that told the story of what happened today in the U.S. House. And it's kind of amusing and interesting, and historians will no doubt appreciate it. It's a good story, and if I have time, I will read it. I think he even calls it Story Hour or something like that. But there was a couple of interesting and amusing points that happened. One of them was while they were reading Section 1, Article 2 of the of the U.S. Constitution. This would be the Natural Born Citizen Clause. While they were reading, and how's the clause go? For no person except a natural born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to the office of president. Well, at that point, there was a furor in the gallery, or at least one woman, who was screaming, "Accept Obama! Accept Obama! Help us, Jesus!" That's actually what she was screaming. It's hard to hear her, but here's what it sounded like today when they were reading this provision.
I now yield to the gentleman from New Jersey, Mr. Pallone.
No person except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to be the office of president. Neither shall...
Help us, Jesus!
The chair would remind all persons in the gallery that they are here as guests of the House and that any manifestation of approval or disapproval of the proceedings is a violation of the rules of the House. The chair notes a disturbance in the gallery in contravention of the law and rules of the House. The sergeant at arms will remove those persons responsible for the disturbance and restore order in the gallery. Gentleman from Virginia.
Okay.
New Jersey.
Yeah, from New Jersey. Help us, Jesus! You know, I'm not sure, but I don't think Jesus is a natural-born citizen of the United States either. So I'm not sure what help he was going to be there. But what I found amusing was this, about this. She was escorted out and arrested by the Capitol Hill police. So while they're reading the U.S. Constitution, when they get to Section 1, Article 2, they actually had to revoke the First Amendment, which says that Congress shall make no law inhibiting the free speech. So her free speech rights had to be interrupted. She had to be hauled away for expressing her opinions in the House today, as the Republicans were all showing us what the U.S. Constitution was all about. And by the way, that was Frank Pallone, the Democrat from New Jersey, who got the draw on that particular clause, the natural-born citizen clause. They were sort of rotating. For the most part, they were rotating back and forth between Democrats and Republicans, although there were some that... I think everybody was fighting over the, as Dave Weigel tells the story anyway over at Slate, that everybody, all the Republicans were fighting for the Second Amendment for some odd reason. And there was also a fight about whether they would read the whole Constitution, because, you know, the Republicans, they talk about, we're originalists. We want the Constitution to mean exactly what it meant on the day that it was drafted. Well, yeah, okay, there's the whole three-fifths of a person clause concerning slavery. That stuff obviously has been struck, but there was a fight, and I believe it was Jesse Jackson Jr. who wanted that stuff to be read today. So we would know what the Constitution was and how the Constitution is changed over time. Curiously absent from the reading of the U.S. House today, of the U.S. Congress, what is it? The U.S. Constitution in the U.S. House, were Reps Michelle Bachmann and Steve King, two of the Congress people who have been invoking the Constitution the most over the past several months. In fact, Michelle Bachmann, head of the Tea Party Caucus, has called for there to be Constitution lessons in the U.S. House, and I think they're actually going to do this. And Antonin Scalia, who claims to know something about the U.S. Constitution, questionable claim, by the way, the Supreme Court Justice has said that he's going to help teach these classes. Well, and this is Michelle Bachmann's idea. She put this together, crazy Michelle Bachmann. Well, Greg Sargent points out this afternoon, late this evening. He says, did anyone else notice that GOP reps Michelle Bachmann and Steve King, both Tea Party chieftains who routinely wrap themselves in their policy preferences in the Constitution, were conspicuously absent from today's reading? My understanding is that the arrangement was first come, first serve, so all you had to do was to read was show up early. Maybe they had good reasons for missing the reading. But given that Bachmann and King never missed a chance to bask in the Constitution's reflected glory, you'd think they would have done all they could to ensure that they participated in such a momentous, ritualistic honoring of our founding document. After all, many of those Constitution-despising Democrats were able to find the time to show up, points out Greg Sargent. So they didn't even make it. I'm starting to believe it's theater. What do you think? Give us a call, 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Yeah, it is theater. It's all about theater, and it's going to be all about theater, I'm sorry to say, for the next 2 years, because, you know, they're bringing forward this, they're going to revoke health care, and as we have learned today, they're going to vote anyway to revoke health care. They can't do it. It's purely symbolic, and the CBO has found that if they revoke health care, it will add $230 billion to the deficit. But I thought the GOP cared about the deficit. I thought that's what... Well, no, they don't. It's all a lie. So this is all a bunch of theater. We're going to see a whole bunch more theater in the days ahead. And by the way, we're even going to see some from the Democrats. Who was this today? I have this here somewhere. Someone did some theater, strong stuff from Chuck Schumer, who puts out House Republicans on notice that their agenda will hit a brick wall in the Senate. Said Schumer, "We're here today to say these reckless fiscal policies are dead on arrival here in the Senate. We're here to assure everyone that don't worry, these things won't happen because we're here and we're responsible." Well, talk about theater. Democrats are responsible? Okay, hope so. John Boehner said when he was told that the Congressional Budget Office felt that it would add $230 billion to the deficit over the next 10 years, his response to the CBO, the nonpartisan CBO, was that, oh, they are entitled to their own opinion. They're entitled to their own opinion. They're the CBO. This is their job. It's the Congressional Budget Office. This is all they do. They're nonpartisan. They said it's going to add $230 billion. Somehow, John Boehner, however, he knows better because he cares about deficits or the Constitution. Good Lord. It's going to be a fun 2 years. Brad in from Malloy. Your call is straight ahead. Burning down the house all night long here on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. We'll be here also with you tomorrow night, and Malloy will be returning on Monday at his previously appointed hour. Until then, we're broadcasting from the Left Coast. Glad you can join us here. Our number's 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. Talking about the new day, the new dawn of the Republican U.S. Congress. It is a lot funnier. That's all I'm saying. It's a lot funnier. And the story with Congressman Sessions and Fitzpatrick, well, I'll tell you about that in a second. But I want to take a call. Tony has been holding for a while. 877-520-1150. Tony from Janesville, Wisconsin. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Not bad. I just comment. It seems kind of silly to call it unconstitutional to, mandate that people have health care because they do it with so many other things anyway, like car insurance.
Well, but what they will argue about car insurance, by the way, I'm not arguing that health care is unconstitutional here, but I'm just giving you their argument. They will say, well, you don't have to drive a car. That's an option. That's something you choose to do, but you don't have a choice of being a human being.
I mean, or you could even go further and say, that we have police forces and, we have other things that we're mandated to pay for that, we don't choose to. It's, that's the mm-hmm. way you run a society.
Yeah. Well, that would be a tax. And, this is one of the things. If they just made it a tax and then they said, okay, this tax is going to be used to pay for XYZ, but that's the tax is paid to the government. In this case, it's being paid directly to essentially the way it goes is that if you don't buy private insurance, then you will be fined. I mean, that's exactly essentially what they're saying.
I think what they're scared of is, they're worried about what's going to happen maybe with, the insurance companies and how much, payments are going to be and whether they'll be forced into that. And if that is the case, then perhaps their concern should lie with, those things and not the actual base idea of having to pay for it in the first place.
Well, it needs to be paid for in some fashion, and of course, reasonable people, progressives, would understand that the best way to do this is just to charge a fee, charge a tax, whatever, and single payer. Boom. Government pays for it. You need health care. You go out and you get it, and it's paid for by the government via our tax dollars, and it cuts out the, you know, the private insurers who are making an obscene profit off of our illnesses. But they didn't choose to do it that way. They went this other route. Now, that said, before the hour. Well, anyway, I got to run. Tony, any other thoughts here? Because I have an additional one, but I'll let you go first.
Sure, one last comment. I think it's entertaining that, you know, they would be willing to pay for something through a tax, but not of their own pocket, because either way, they're still paying for it.
Yeah, and of course, they're not really mad about it being unconstitutional. It's just a way to make Obama look stupid. That's what it's about, and but we'll see. You know, test it in the courts. We'll find out. Hey, thanks, Tony. I do appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Stay warm up there in Wisconsin. 877-520-1150. Before we went to the break, I started to talk about the theater, kabuki theater, if you will, from all sides, including on the Democratic side. And this was the story that I was thinking about that, let's see, from Raw Story today. Even as Republicans gear up for a vote to repeal health care reform, one progressive House member is making a renewed push for the public option. On Wednesday, the first day of the 112th Congress, Representative Lynn Woolsey of California introduced a measure to establish a robust public health insurance option as a supplement to the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. California Congresswoman argued that the plan, which pays physicians 5% more than Medicare rates, would lower insurance costs and address deficit concerns, pointing to a CBO report saying it would cut the deficit by $68 billion. Where are the fiscal conservative deficit hawks now? They ought to be jumping all over this. Public option, it's back, says Lynn Woolsey. Will it just be theater? I have a feeling it might. She says this is the perfect moment for the public option. Builds on health care reform legislation, lowers costs, provides a great way to bring down the deficit. Sounds good to me. Bring it on. All right. One more hour of the Malloy Show ahead. You're not going to want to miss it. Brad, in for Malloy. Green news at the top of the hour if you're in San Francisco.